Thank you so much, Elaine. Well, this morning we are talking about faith, and yes, it's a church. Of course we're talking about faith, but not just the kind of faith that lives neatly on the scriptures, but the kind that you are living out as well. It's in the middle of your joys and your uncertainties where faith really comes alive. We've all had moments standing on the edge of something daunting that you're about to do, and you almost have to take a step, a diagnosis that knocks the wind out of you, a decision that feels too heavy to make, a sudden change that turns everything upside down, or a worry that quietly grows until it fills the room. You ever had a worry like that? And in those moments, we can almost feel like it's impossible to move forward. Yet faith is there. The letter to the Hebrews tells us that real faith is often born in these moments, not the mountaintops, but the difficult moments too. It's not a close your eyes type of hope either, but an act of trust. That's what faith is. It's an act of trust. We do something. Well, recently on vacation, we were almost at our campsite. And after a long drive through some serious hills, pulling a trailer, suddenly the advanced track warning light on the truck came on. And the last time that came on, it meant that there was a wheel bearing issue. So I was secretly, quietly freaking out. Anyways, my mind started running, what's wrong? Can we fix it? We'll be able to get home. Thankfully, we arrived at the campsite, and I had a choice to make. Was I going to spend the whole time at Yogi Bear Campground worrying about what could potentially happen, or was I going to enjoy the family and have a good vacation? Now, I remembered that I had a trusted friend back home who was good with Fords, and I phoned him and I said, man, what am I going to do? The tire's going to fall off, everything's going to fall apart. He just said, relax. Drive the truck home, I'll plug in my thingamajigger, and I'll tell you what's wrong, and we'll go from there. Halfway home, the warning light goes away, and we're smooth sailing all the way home. But I had that choice, worry, and I did a lot of worrying. But worry or trust? It's a small example, yet nothing like some of the hard moments you have been through, having to trust and choose trust over fear, even when you don't have all the answers. The writer of Hebrews gives a long list of people in chapter 11 that did this. They had to choose trust over fear and worry. Trusting God to take the next step in their lives. Moses leading the people through the Red Sea with the Egyptians in the rear view mirror. Joshua and his army marching around the walls of Jericho, playing a trumpet. They would have looked like anyways, until the walls fell down. Rahab, a Canaanite woman from a very different culture, a very different background than, you know, good church folks are used to. And yet, living her checkered life to put food on the table, it's her trust in Israel's God that enabled the Israel spies to get away scot-free. And it's amazing that Rahab ends up being listed in the genealogy of Jesus in the New Testament. The list switches to the time of the judges, Barak, Gideon, Samson, Jephthah, the kings and the prophet, David and Samuel. These are all people who make some very, I don't know how you say it in a nice way, but some decisions that weren't very good, right? They made mistakes. Some stumbled badly. Yet in God's hand, they did great things by faith. And then comes an important detail in verse 39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had promised. None of them got to get to the goal line. You know, they were, you know, an 80-yard bomb, and then that's it. They experienced some of it, but not all the way to the finish line. They lived trusting God without seeing the full picture. They didn't see the Messiah. They didn't see the new heaven and the new earth. They died still waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. It's easy to get discouraged when you're waiting. It's easy to get discouraged in our world today. We see and hear leaders and their decisions choose power over peace, greed over service, pride over humility. We see and hear about hunger in a world where there's enough food. We've got enough. Yet because of conflicts or climate issues, because people still struggle to have enough. Across Canada this summer, communities all across the country have been hit so hard with these fires. Firefighters and volunteers pushing themselves to the limits, but it just keeps coming, more and more. And for those living through it, it must be incredible. Smoke and ash, wondering they'll reach the finish line. It can be deeply discouraging when we look at our world today and we get discouraged. And yet too often, short-term gain outweighs long-term stability. Will there be enough for our children and grandchildren who bear the consequences of choices that have been made now, today? It's discouraging too with our health when profits seem to be what people are going for rather than the well-being of society. These are heavy realities that remind us that we're running a race that's hard. It's difficult. It's discouraging. And closer to home, we see brokenness too in our own families, in our own relationships. We make mistakes. We choose fear over faith. We fall short of the mark of God, of our Lord. Sometimes we can begin to believe the lie that we don't even have enough to carry on. We can believe the lie that we're not good enough, that we can't even participate in the race. When it piles up, it's tempting to think, well, I'm just going to take care of my little corner and what I can control, my family, my responsibilities. There's wisdom in that, but there's a bigger picture, a race that we're connected to beyond generations and beyond even our little community. The people of Hebrews 11 kept going. They weren't perfect, but they stayed in the race. They stayed running those hills and around those corners, despite the frustration, despite the sin that they committed. They didn't give up. They didn't throw in the towel. They kept going. They didn't become apathetic. And the promises of God, they didn't even see them, yet they kept going so we might be closer. And the next generation is closer until that moment of new heaven and new earth and resurrection where we're no longer running, but we're at the finish line. The writer says in 12:1-2, I don't know if you caught this, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. This is the Message version. Strip down, start running, never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus who began and finished the race that we're in. We run our race that Jesus already finished. That's the good news, friends. Jesus ran the race for us. He defeated sin and death once and for all. So even if we stumble and fall, the pioneer and the perfecter, he's already reached the finish line. We can pick ourselves up, keep going, knowing that God is with us and with this world, bringing it to a good place. This is amazing. This is the gospel, the good news that God is with us. By faith, we are all connected generationally. And in the book of Hebrews, we get to look to Christ as people of hope and gratitude because we're connected. And even those who didn't know, they were connected by this faith. In the 1920s, an English adventurer named George Malory, he led an expedition to conquer Mount Everest. And I don't know if there's any mountain climbers here, but he tried three times. The first time they failed. The second time, him and his crew failed. The third time, him and his crew failed, and George lost his life. And when the survivors returned to England, they held a huge banquet to honor George and all of the survivors. And when they held the banquet to salute Malory, One of the survivors stood up to speak, but he saw on this wall this picture of Everest, and he got so emotional he didn't address all the people there, but he looked at the painting, he looked at the Mount Everest, and he said, "Everest, in the name of all the men living and those unborn, you defeated us once, you defeated us twice, you defeated us three times, but we shall someday defeat you, because you can't get any bigger, but we can. We can. We can get bigger. This is what it means to live in faith in a broken world. The mountains of injustice, suffering, and fear, they seem huge all around us, but they can't get any bigger, but we can. We've just invited Madeline and Genevieve to join the team. Wow, heaven is shaking. Hell is shaking, right? We've got a few more on the team that are trusting by God's grace. Not that they do anything, but they trust the promise. And they keep walking forward with hope, with joy, with love. Friends, this is the Christian walk. Jesus leading the way. He's already made it, and he's cheering us on, praying for us, like all of those who have gone before us. This is the faith. As we run the race, we have our own finish lines in life, yes, but it's a finish line to the cross. And one of them is right in front of us. We've talked about it. Andrew's talked a little bit about it, this building project, and we are almost there as a community. But there's also the race of our daily lives, living with hope, loving that neighbor that's so difficult to love. We all need strength to love our neighbors. We all need strength to continue to look to Christ, to pray. Well, what is that actually doing? Saying some words to who's actually listening? It works. We have a group that meets every 2 weeks in the church, some ladies and men, and we get together, and we're facing difficult circumstances, and yet somehow by doing this, by acknowledging God, God hearing our prayers, we're able to move forward. Friends, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Yes, biblical heroes, faithful Christians through the centuries, grandparents and great-grandparents, ordinary saints who simply choose to trust God one step at a time. So friends, let's persevere together. We are in this together. Let's get rid of all the things weighing us down, any of the distractions, those worries that we keep going to, those old worn-out sins. Let's just forget them. Let's live with hope. And even if we do turn and sin, trust the Savior. You're in the game. You're never off the team. Keep going. Run with strength. The Spirit is with you. Run towards the finish line with Jesus himself waiting for you. Keep the faith. Don't give up. The race is worth it. Amen.